Pray with me. Father, we thank you for allowing us into your presence. And Father, as we open your word, open our hearts. Father, we pray that the words that are spoken will be yours and you give us ears to hear. And Father, we ask that your Holy Spirit would have free rein in this room to move in our minds and our hearts, to convict us and draw us closer to you in an effort to make us more like you. Father, it's in your name we pray. Amen. I believe that of all God's sweet promises, forgiveness may be the sweetest. And at the same time, may be the most misunderstood of God's promises. And this morning, y'all know I like illustrations, and this morning there are not any. If you have your Bible, get prepared. We're going to do some deep digging today because this is important. We need to have a firm grasp on what forgiveness is and what it's not. Because it's life or death. And we need to understand and we need to be able not only to look in our own lives, but also take a clear understanding of what God's promise of forgiveness is to the world out there. Because there's a lot of people out there who don't get it and don't understand. Go with me to Colossians chapter 2 is where we're going to start. Get prepared with your flipper or your swiper, whatever your Bible of choice is. We're going to be busy today. Colossians chapter 2, I'm going to read verses 13 and 14. You were dead because of your sin, and because of your sinful nature was not yet cut away. Then God made you alive with Christ, for He forgave all our sins. He canceled the record of charges against us and took it away by nailing it to the cross. That is our foundation of everything we believe. Of what forgiveness is. We were dead because of our sin and our nature to sin, and Jesus took that payment and nailed it to the cross. Turn over to Matthew. Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. Verse 21. Not everyone who calls out to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Not everyone who calls out to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. What that implies is that Jesus is saying there are people who believe in their mind that I am their Lord, and I'm not. Do you hear that? There are people who believe that God is their Lord, and He's not. Now let that sink in for a minute, because we got to get a grasp on this. Not everyone who calls out to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those who actually do the will of my Father will in heaven will enter. And he goes on to say that on judgment day there are going to be people who are surprised when Jesus says, I don't know who you are. That's serious. I don't know who you are. So what is the disconnect between all the people who think God is their Lord, and He's not? Because there are churches today who are full of people who think they're going to heaven and they're not. They're not. And what would be heartbreaking for me as your shepherd is that anybody in this room not be in heaven when they think and they have spent their whole life thinking they were going. So that's why this is serious for us to examine. And what we need to do today is take a spiritual mirror and look at your life. Because you're the only one who can answer this question. But, I mean, have you ever looked at yourself in the mirror and went, oh God, I didn't realize I looked like that. Or heard yourself on a recording and go, do I sound like that? Or have looked at things over and over and over again, and then all of a sudden you see something you've never seen before. I have stood on this stage for over a year. I have never, I tell you, until this morning, realized these pews are not in the center of this room. They are shifted this way. Okay, I bet you didn't know it. I bet you thought they were on the center stage. And after the service, all of y'all are going to have to come up here and stand on the stage and look down this aisle and realize this room is shifted this way. I have looked at it at least 52 times and never saw it. You need to look at your life and understand what Jesus is saying. There are a lot of people. He says in that verse, many. It's not just a few. Many people are going to come to me and say, Lord, Lord, and He's going to say, I don't know who you are. Where does this disconnect happen? Turn with me to the book of John. I think it starts with a verse here that we know very well. John chapter 3. John chapter 3, verse 16. You know this verse? John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. I think this is where the disconnect starts. And I think it is on one word, believes. And what is your definition of believe? Because James says over in his book, 2:19, I think, even Satan believes this. Even the demons believe God is who He says He is, and they aren't going to heaven. So what is your definition, and what is God's definition of believe? Because people will tell you, ask anybody, I believe in God. That's not going to get you to heaven. That will not get you to heaven. And going to heaven is not our objective. Do you hear that? If going to heaven is your objective, you might want to examine your heart. Because what I'm trying to get to and what you need to try to get to is eternity with a God who nailed your sins to the cross. That's heaven. So what happens with this word believes that is the disconnect for people? Think about it like this, okay? Remember the old toll booths on the interstate where you're cruising along and all of a sudden you got to slow down and you pull into this little booth and there's a little basket there. Sometimes there's a person in a booth, but there's a little basket and you try to throw your quarters in there and then you go on your way, okay? For most of the world, they believe that's what God is looking for. You cruise along with your life. You live it however you want. You do whatever you want. And you slow down occasionally. And you pay God. whether it's I'm going to go to church, whether I'm going to read my Bible for the first time in 6 months, but I'm going to do it today. Whatever it is, you cruise along with life, you slow down, you pay God, and then you go back up to speed and you live your life. And occasionally another booth comes along and you slow down and you throw your whatever payment you have for God in there, and then you cruise back on your life again. That's how most of the world interprets this verse. All I have to do, yes, I believe that God sent His Son and that He paid for my sins, and I'm going to go live my life. That is not what this verse is saying. Okay? And it keys on what happens to you when you believe this verse. And you believe it. You're driving down the interstate and you come to a place where you say, God sent His Son for me, and it's payment for my sins. And what happens next is you take the exit off of that highway and you stop living your life and you go the direction that God wants you to go. Does that make sense? If you're cruising along and your life hasn't changed since you accepted Christ, your life hasn't changed. He's in the business of changing you completely. And so what does that mean? Go with me over to Matthew. Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. The disciples come to Him and they want to know how to pray. And what He gives us is the example that we know as the Lord's Prayer. And there are some important parts, especially about forgiveness. Because when you accept Christ's forgiveness, it changes you and how you view everything else and everybody else in your life. Look at verse 9. Pray like this: Our Father in heaven, may Your name be kept holy. May Your kingdom come. May Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today the food we need, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. That's important. That's really important. Because He finishes His prayer and then drop down to verse 14. If you forgive those who sin against us, Your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive others, Your Father will not forgive your sins. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. What? Does this mean that if I don't forgive you for something, God's not going to forgive me? What we need to understand is what He is trying to get us to understand is that when He forgives us, it changes your heart. It changes your heart. And you have a heart that forgives. Think about that for a minute. And watch this.
Like Yours above, one that overcomes evil. kindness and love, like it never happened, never holding a grudge. Want a heart that forgives and lives and lets live, one that keeps loving over and over again. One that men can't offend, because your word is within. One that loves without price, like you, Lord Jesus Christ. One a heart that loves everybody, even my enemies. Want a love like you, be like you, just like you did. Want a heart that forgives. When the ones that are closest, that I've known the longest, hurt me the most, I still want to love them just like you love me, even though I'm hurting. I want a heart that forgives when the pain is so deep, it's so hard to speak about it to anyone, just like your son. I give up my right to hold it against them with hatred inside. I want a heart that loves everybody, even my enemies. I want to love like you, be like you, just like you did. I want to walk like you, talk like, just like you did. Wanna be like you, live like you, just like you did. Cause a heart that forgives is the heart that will live, totally free from the pain of the past. And the heart that lets go is the heart that will know so much freedom. Lord, I want to let it go.
Hallelujah.
God, I need to let it go. Lord, it's been holding me back, and I don't want it, I don't want it, I don't want it no more. Exactly what to do to get rid of it, but here I am, Lord Jesus. Here I am, oh, here I am, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord, I need you, I need you. I know this is me that you're talking to. This is me, this is me, this is me, Lord, this is me. Lord, I let it go. Every person, that's ever hurt me, God, I let it go. Every single hurt, God, I let it go. Every single pain, God, I let it go. I let it go. I let it go. Lord, you can have. Lord, you can have. Lord, you can have it. Lord, you can have it. You can have it now. You can have it now. 'Cause I don't want it no
That ability comes from a heart that has been changed by a God who has forgiven you. Because we do not have the ability in us to be able to do that. That comes from God. And you say, well, you don't know. You don't know what I've been through. You don't know what happened to me. You know what? I'm right. You're right. I don't. But God does. And how you do that is held in something very simple. Take your hymnals out. Yeah, your hymnals. Turn to hymn 340. You see, when you have accepted Christ's forgiveness and He has come in and changed you and given you a heart with the ability to forgive, then your life has been changed and your heart has been changed. And how you get to a place where you can give for the forgiveness that Christ says we have to forgive is very simple. Look at this short little chorus, 340. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. See, what happens to us is we focus on the hurt, the hurter, the effect, the consequences, but we don't focus on Jesus. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face. And look at this. And the things of this world, and you can change that to the hurt of this world, the pain of this world, all the things of this world will grow strangely dim in the light of His love. So if we're going to give the forgiveness that God expects, it starts with a changed heart and a focus on Him. But now we need to clear up something. Jesus says, if I don't forgive you, He's not forgiving me. What is He talking about? What is He talking about here? Because we need to get a handle on that. Anybody have trouble memorizing Scripture? I promise I do. I can tell you what a verse says, but half the time I can't tell you where it's at. Or I can tell you parts of a verse. Like, anybody ever heard the verse that God helps those who help themselves? It's not in the Bible. It is not in the Bible, okay? There are three verses today that I want you to commit yourself to memorize, okay? Because you need them for you and you need them for the rest of the world. I learned these three going to prison with Bill Glass Ministries, okay? And they're very simple. If I can remember them, you can, okay? And I bet you already know them. The first one, look at Romans 3:23. Okay? Romans 3:23. This is an easy one. These are so easy and they are so foundational to understanding forgiveness and what God expects for us. Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That means every single one of us is on a path to spend eternity without God because we've sinned. Okay? That's the first one. Now the second one. Romans 6:23. They're easy to remember. 3:23 is first. 6:23 is second. We've established we're sinners. Now we're going to establish the consequence for that. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is the plan of salvation, okay? For us and anybody you meet. 3:23, you're a sinner. 6:23, There's consequences to that. Okay? In Romans 8:1, that's the third one. And this one's pivotal to grasping what Jesus is saying to us when he says, I expect you to forgive as I've forgiven you. Romans 8:1. So now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. For the wages of sin is death. But for those who belong to Christ Jesus, there is no condemnation. So is that contradicting what Jesus said? That if you don't forgive people, I'm not forgiving you? What Jesus is saying and what Scripture is telling us is when we accept His forgiveness, and that means a course change, that means a journey change, that means I'm not cruising down the interstate of my desires anymore and stopping at a toll booth occasionally. That means I get off of the interstate and I take God's direction. Then my heart is changed and I have the ability to forgive because He's forgiven me. But God's forgiveness has two aspects, okay? And this is what we have to understand. And this, when your heart is changed with Him, will affect you on a daily basis. The first aspect of God's forgiveness is a judicial forgiveness. Okay? That's where Jesus paid your sins for you. And God as your judge said, you are forgiven. That's at the moment I decide that I completely believe John 3:16. And believing is not just saying, I believe this carpet is red. Believing is a mindset and a heart change that I'm not going my direction anymore. I'm going God's direction because I believe what He did for me. Okay? And so at that point, I receive His judicial forgiveness. That is forever and always. You cannot lose that. When you've accepted Him, your sin has been paid. Okay? So if you were standing before God as judge, and you will one day, and Jesus is going to say, I know her. I know him. You're taken care of. There's a second aspect of God's forgiveness. And it is a parental forgiveness. Okay? This is what affects you on a daily basis. God has forgiven you. And God has forgiven me, but I'm still a sinner. And what God wants me to do on a more than daily basis, a minute basis, is to understand that He is grieved when I sin. Has your kid ever disappointed you? If you got one, they did. But it did not change how much you loved them. It's the same way with God. He's loved you and He has paid the price for your sin. But as I sin on a daily basis, He's grieved and hurt. And it's not for what I'm doing to Him. For those of you who are parents, you understand. It's not what the child is doing to themselves, to you. It's what they're doing to themselves. That's the parental forgiveness that we need to seek. Because when I understand and I see God as active in my life every day and He wants me to stay off of that interstate, and on His course, because it's good for me, He wants me to come to Him when I step off that path and seek forgiveness and rightness. That's a parental forgiveness. So at the end of the day, when I have failed and fallen short, I'm not looking for God's forgiveness as my judge who's angry that I've sinned. What I'm looking for is the forgiveness of a father who's hurt. You can only understand that and have that if you have accepted Him and believe that verse. And the believe means you change courses, not that you just pay homage to it and recognize it. Here's my invitation for you today. If you don't know Him, come to know Him. If you do, which most of the people in this room do, I'm going to invite you to just worship Him for a minute. Stand if you want, sit if you want. Nobody's in this room but you and God. Worship Him. Pray with me. Father, we thank You for Your sweet promise of forgiveness. Let it be the foundation of who we are. And it's in Your name we pray.
I'm forgiven because You were forsaken. I'm accepted. You were condemned. I'm alive and well. Your Spirit is within me because You died and rose again. I'm forgiven because You were forsaken. I'm accepted. You were condemned. I'm alive and well. Your Spirit is within me because You died and rose again. Amazing love, how can it be that You, my King, would die for me? Amazing love, I know it's true, and it's my joy to honor You in all I do. I honor You. I'm forgiven because You were forsaken. I'm accepted. You were condemned. I'm alive and well. Your Spirit is within me because You died and rose again. Amazing love, how can it be that You, my King, would die for me? Amazing love, my joy to honor You. washing my eyes to see your majesty, to be still and know that you're in this place. Please let me stay and rest in your holiness. Word of God, speak. Would you pour down like rain, washing my eyes to see your majesty, to be still and know that you're in this place. Please let me stay and rest in your holiness.
Stand with me. I pray that you go out those doors and everything that you do, honor Him. Pray with me. Father, thank you for your forgiveness. Thank you for your love. Lord, let us honor you with our lives. And given out forgiveness as freely as you gave it to us. And it's in your name we pray. Amen.